Today, the part of Sterling will be played by Mike, aka Number Three.
Hello.
And today is also our anniversary episode. We've been doing this for 1 year now, and we've dubbed this episode 37A.
It's that time again when my bowels get insistent. Ain't to cry, my friend, it's a kind of brown ballistics. I gotta pinch a loaf, drop the kids off at the pool, shepherd chocolate goats, and spill the darkened jewels. I gotta squeeze the cheese and set the monkeys loose, make an anal squeeze.
From what I understand,
it's
because of Dan's aptitude of figuring out how to change episode 38 posts.
That's true. That's actually true. We had put some stuff up there. Sterling had put some stuff up there for, looks like the mic is hot. Hot mic.
Thank you.
Sterling had put some stuff up there for 38, and I just didn't feel like fucking with it. So I made a 37A, which, as you pointed out,
37 Anniversary Edition.
Stands for Anniversary Edition. So Sterling is either up north on vacation or buried in my backyard, one of the two.
Hey, I didn't notice before, Dan. Are those Bruno Mali shoes?
Those, well, they could be. So, happy anniversary to, or happy birthday to Podzor, and a warm welcome to Mike as the first sub-co-host. Is
full-time
that what it's called?
Full-time guest co-host.
Guest co-host, that's what they call it. The first guest co-host. So, anyway.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
I don't think we have, there's lots of good activity on the forums. I don't think there's any forum news, really.
Not that I can think of. Just
all right. So one of the things we've done recently is we have like a suggestions. Whoa, what's beeping at me? What the fuck is that? I wonder if my network connected or something. Anyway, we have like a little suggestions area. If you have any suggestions for the show or just any comments or whatever the fuck you want to do. But somebody posted up there a discussion of why Cobra Kai would have been better instruction from a self-defense perspective than Mr. Miyagi. Now, this is one of my big complaints about the Karate Kid, is the whole fucking paint the fence thing and all that shit just doesn't seem very good to me.
And then when Mr. Miyagi starts throwing punches, he's able to fend everything off.
Everything.
Because he's been sanding and painting and waxing. And
Now, I will say that there's a lot to be said for repetitive motion and having your actions be muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I do think that... one of the things I think that's interesting is, and I've never been able to figure this out, is they don't give us any sort of timeline in Karate Kid.
That is true. They do not.
How long was Ralph Macchio training with Mr. Miyagi? Because
you're supposed to assume a summertime, maybe?
Maybe a summertime, and I guess that's right. But you can never
really
know.
But they're actually in school, so you know what is the time?
What is
frame?
The timeline?
They never tell you.
And I'm sorry, those other guys, they're not only, you know, they're black belts, so they've probably been in Cobra Kai for, I don't know, at least 2-3 years.
At least.
You know, at least. It's usually a minimum of 2-3 years. And they are obviously seasoned competitors. That's a huge difference, too, is when you've been in the ring before. And
they've been to the competitions
They've
before,
been to the competitions.
They
they've faced opponents. They're more comfortable in the ring.
They seem to be a good group of beatniks outside
yes.
the classroom as well, so they've
yes.
probably been friends for quite a while.
So I call bullshit on, now that we think of it, I call bullshit on Karate Kid.
I agree.
But yeah, from a self-defense perspective, I think that one of the most important things about self-defense is self-confidence.
I agree. And that's what Ralph Macchio...
That's what he lacked, and that's what the Cobra Kai guys had. Unfortunately, their self-confidence turned into cockiness.
Correct. Well,
so,
that's a reflection on their...
instructor.
Sensei.
Right, because obviously Mr. Miyagi walked in and says, ah, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he was the don't fuck with my guys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So from a self-defense... But I think that one of the things that... you know, I've been thinking about a lot lately is the self-defense perspective, and it makes a good point, is that self-defense is probably not one of the main reasons that you should go to a martial art class.
Well, what was the Cobra Kai mantra? Was strike first, strike hard?
Yeah, something like that. No mercy.
That's not even self-defense. That's right. Just beating the living snot out of someone.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. Good movie, though. Still love that movie.
I agree.
Watch it all the time.
And all the sequels?
And all the sequels. I do love the sequels. There was a chick in one of them. And
yeah.
That was pretty cool. I like chicks. Chicks are neat. So the other martial arts thing I have today is I've been reading a book called The Chinese Martial Arts Training Manuals.
I saw the Amazon description.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really cool book. If you're into martial arts at all, really, I mean, Japanese art, or you take an Indonesian art or something like that, it gives a very interesting history.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of the book is sort of historical stuff, and the second half of the book is an analysis of, I think, 7 or 8 different ancient manuals kind of thing.
And,
okay. I'm not to the second half of the book yet, but the historical stuff is really interesting because, I don't know, for me, I've never really read that much in depth of the true history of Chinese martial arts.
Just reading the description at the website, that's what I found intriguing about it, is the fact that they put all these martial arts in context of the culture at the time.
Yeah.
They give it a historical background.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I found most interesting was that they said it was very difficult to get a true reading of martial arts history because they martial arts schools actually they embellish all of their history and all of their stories.
Yeah, to the victor goes the spoil, and the winners write history.
There you go.
Et cetera.
And they do that to sort of bolster their school and bolster their styles, and it's really difficult to actually find true history.
An unbiased
true history. One of the things that I never knew about, but and you know, this is just one guy, so I don't fucking know, but one of the things that I've always heard is that most, if not all, of Chinese martial arts came from Shaolin.
Okay.
And they sort of all disseminated from there. And this guy sort of called bullshit on that. And it's that what ended up happening is that martial artists would just sort of tag that onto their style to say, oh, yeah, you know, my style came from Shaolin, it's an ancient style, blah, 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 when all of that was bullshit. And they just got hooked up that they put the Shaolin name on their style, and it was meaningless.
And they put some elements in there and flavored it. And
yeah, and in fact, one of the things that he talks about is in these ancient manuals specifically, is someone would write a manual and then put another guy's name on it to lend credibility to the manual.
Yeah.
And so really back then they didn't have any copyright laws, they didn't have any, and still it's very loose where...
Ghostwriters, get yourself on the bestsellers list.
Yeah, well, unfortunately the thing is that it's not even like a ghostwriter where you're writing under a pen name. It's like me writing a book and saying, by Stephen King.
Point taken.
So, yeah, it's kind of an enlightening book. And actually, I just read a part where one of the things that he talks about is, he says, you know, from my review of all these manuals, it's really fascinating from an intellectual and a historical perspective, but if I had, you know, 10 books to choose and those were the only martial art books I could ever buy, they probably wouldn't be these ancient manuals because they weren't, back then, they weren't really adept at explaining things well, or they were just very thin, or more importantly, they were for their experienced students. So this is sort of a manual that you give your most senior student.
Yeah.
So that they can have this knowledge to carry on to their students, kind of.
Do they give any indication of how long it took them or where they had to look to find all of this information?
Well,
compile it?
Yeah, they talk about one guy who is Taiwanese, and I guess he's been spending the last 10 or 15 years collecting these manuals. And slowly, I think Lion's Head Press right now is the only company that actually publishes. They're going through the process of republishing all of these ancient
manuscripts.
So yeah, it's a really interesting read. I don't know how much money it is, but
it's actually fairly inexpensive. I know.
It's not like an academic book,
right,
where it's like $50 or something like that. So it's an interesting read if you're interested in the more intellectual pursuit of the martial arts or the history or whatnot. So that's it for
martial arts
stuff.
As you can tell, I'm not big into the martial arts.
No, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. So on to our tech tips. I found this thing. I think I found it on Dig. It's
called something you stumbled across, or?
Oh, it could be something I stumbled across too. Yeah, I can't remember. No, I think it was on Dig. But it's called Work Friendly, and I don't know if you got the chance to look at this thing.
I did.
It is it's really cool. Essentially, what you can do is, using your web browser, you can put a URL in, and it will make a quote-unquote work-friendly version of that page. In other words, it'll strip out most of the graphics and a lot of the formatting and junk like that, pop open a window that looks a hell of a lot like a Word document, in my opinion, like the button bars and things like that. So if you have – we're moving to more open cubicles at work,
uh-huh,
right? We've got these nice, tightly enclosed one where nobody can see what the fuck I'm doing, and we're getting moved soon. And along with the move is new cubicles, which are really open, so my boss can see what I'm looking at from really far away.
That's not good for you.
Which is a pain in the ass. It's called Work Friendly, and if you have an open cubicle layout, I suggest checking it out.
Now, does that stop you from looking at websites that your work would normally block for you already?
No. No, it just – and they've got a little boss button that you can roll over, shit like that. But yeah, it doesn't make it – it doesn't make the page safe for work. It just makes the appearance of that page a little more work friendly. Now, I think it does strip out the images.
Okay. So if there's any offensive
graphic material that you don't want to see. But I don't know about you, most of my bullshit browsing is videos now.
Yeah.
So
I understand.
I can't imagine I'll tell you what. Putting the internet in workplaces must have dropped productivity like a rock over the last 10 years.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. It allows you to do work more,
I would almost guarantee that it allows me to fuck around more than work.
That's the downside. There are advantages to having it in the workplace. It allows you to do email. You can research products and all that sort of good stuff. But, you occasionally watch a few movies every now and then.
Yeah. So anyway, check out Work Friendly. It's interesting. Like Better. Oh yeah, did you see this?
Yes, I did that, and that actually
nailed me pretty good.
It's
a little creepy, eh?
It is very creepy.
So what this web page does is it brings up two images, and you just select which image you like better.
And just random pictures.
Yeah, and it's not like this quiz that you have to take or something like that. It's just random pictures, and you just
very non-offensive.
Yep. And I went through maybe 10 of them, maybe 15 at the most. And then at the end of it, you like click on this little brain thing, and it tells you what kind of person it thinks you are.
Yeah, it gives you a statement and it says, is this correct or are you the opposite?
Right.
And based on that, it keeps on giving you strings of what it thinks your personality likes, traits are.
Yeah, like you're a very highly organized person, or you're an unorganized person, or you like surprises, or you don't like surprises.
You're spontaneous, or you like to plan things out.
Yeah, and I went through probably like 10 of its predictions. And I think there was only one, maybe two, that I didn't think it got right, but it got really pretty close.
It did. I went through probably a dozen images and probably 10 or so of the traits, and there was only one that it was off on.
Yeah, and it's kind of. Have you ever played the 20 questions thing?
Yes.
That's pretty creepy, too.
Yes, it is.
I'd like to see the programming for that. Cause...
Yeah, actually, the one that I played was based on the Revenge of the Sith. It had Darth Vader come out.
Oh, did it? Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
It made it very creepy.
Give me your question, or
the
whatever.
The Force is with me.
Yeah. So, anyway, just a couple of cool websites, more than tech tips, I guess. Maybe I should put tech tips / interesting links.
That would be a good descriptor.
Yeah. I don't really care. I don't think anybody else does for that.
I don't think you're going to get too many people saying, oh, that's not a tech tip, Dan.
I wonder if there's any way on the website we can figure out how many times people click on these links. I wonder how many people go up to the notes ad, so I could look that up.
How many people actually view the notes?
View the notes. Yeah,
I know I have that up while I'm listening to the show in case something interesting comes up, or if you reference a story or you're going to talk about a video, yeah. I kind of pause
podcast, it, go out to the video.
Watch the video, and then come back so I can listen intelligently about what you're talking about.
Well, speaking of watching videos and whatnot, I'm going to move down to the key bumping.
Tech science stuff, item number four.
Item number four. So I was looking for stories this morning, and I saw something on Dig called key bumping. And this, I don't know about you, but it completely freaked me out.
Me too.
Essentially, what this video shows is that pretty much anybody
take a
specialized key, and it's not specialized in the sense that it's a special key. It's specifically cut. It's cut in a specific way.
Correct. Kind of like a master key to a set of locks.
Yes, but this key is cut in a particular way, so you shove it in a lock, right? Now, it's got to fit the pattern.
It's got to fit into the tumbler.
It's got to fit into the tumbler.
And actually be able to fully insert like it would possibly turn.
Right, and once you do that, these fucking guys, they just take a little hammer and tap it a couple of times, and boom, it's unlocked.
Yep.
And I just thought, well, that's it. I mean, every lock, like, everywhere is instantly useless.
Subject to this technique, yeah.
Now, what I would be curious of, and that I don't know about, actually, is previous to this, like, if you had a good lockpick set, how accessible are things to someone with a good lockpick set?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, this makes it ridiculously easy.
Right. Any crazy
I swear, on this video, what, five, not even 30 seconds?
Oh, not even that.
Not even that.
Well, the locksmith said 10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds. Boom, boom. He put it in, tapped it once, unlocked the door.
Able to switch
the lock. And this guy
mentioned
that one of the big problems with it is that your insurance company, there's nothing broken.
Yeah, there's no signs of forced entry.
There's no signs of forced entry. So your insurance company will say, well, it looks like you left the door unlocked.
Yeah.
Because it does look like you left the door unlocked.
Right. Yeah, there's no signs of a jimmied lock.
Yeah.
You know, they said might as well just leave your door unlocked because there's no difference between having it locked with someone that can key bump.
So the moral of the story is that if you come into your house and find stuff missing, throw a big rock through your window.
That's right. Or just destroy your locks.
Just destroy
your locks. Someone came through.
Bash your way through the door.
Yeah, and if you kill someone, make sure you drag them back onto your property.
That's right. Yeah. See, always
thinking.
Lessons
learned.
Always thinking. Yeah. So, check out the video. It is, I believe, in German.
Yes, with subtitles.
With subtitles. So, it's funny because usually when I'm at work, I find myself, I'll click on a video and I won't really watch the video necessarily. But when they say something interesting, I'll turn and look at
over.
It. You can't really do that with subtitles.
Not
videos.
With this
Not
one.
So good. But
you could actually have the sound off because it doesn't really matter because you're reading the subtitles.
That's true. But it is startling.
Very surprising.
It's like
at first I was waiting, okay, when's the joke coming up? You know?
Right.
And it's not.
Right. I actually want to make one of those master keys and try it myself because it looks like fun.
We should report back on that.
Though. Yeah, I've been playing too much Oblivion, too. I'm playing a thief right now in Oblivion. And he just, you know, goes around at night sneaking into people's houses, picking locks and stuff like that.
Did you ever play the Xbox game Thief?
No, I did not.
I have that.
I should try that.
Very good.
I should try that. Yes. But, you're playing too much Oblivion when you're walking by a nice set of flowers and you're like, oh, I could pick those for potions. Not healthy, no. Folks.
Get out into the real world, Dan.
So Blue Screen Mike posted up a couple of news stories. AMD and ATI merger. This is now kind of old news. At the time he posted it, it was rumored.
Yeah.
But it's a done deal at this point. It makes me nervous. Because right now, ATI and NVIDIA are really the two biggest players in the video card market. Now, it doesn't make me nervous necessarily, because I buy the lowest-end video card I can possibly find and get myself a fucking Xbox.
Yeah.
Now, you're a console player too,
yes.
Right? Although you do play DDO.
I did play DDO until everyone else decided not to play, but I did play for a while.
Now, everyone else went back to WoW, right?
World of Warcraft.
Now, are you on WoW?
No, I am not.
Okay. So really the only reason that you were playing on your PC was
to play with some of the guys from our D&D group that were going to be playing DDO.
But you're a console gamer.
For the most part, that is pretty much my first foray into the online role-playing.
Yeah, and for me, I'm a console player all the way. Because you know what? I don't want to have to upgrade my machine. All the fucking monkeying around that Sterling has had to do with his video card and DDO and all that bullshit, not worth it.
Well, he got a new video card thinking it was going to be the bee's knees for him when he started playing DDO.
And it wasn't.
And the only way that I could play DDO was to get a new video card. And he gave me his old one when he got his new one. And he's had more troubles with his, and I haven't had any problem with the older one that was supposedly outdated.
I'll bet you
it
has nothing to do with the video card.
It might not. Who knows? It could be you know, conflicts or
it's
something.
It's a bunch of bullshit, though. I want to shove a disc in and be done with it.
I agree. And
you know?
When you got a console, you can do that
because
everything's tested. You know,
so all you console haters out there, take a lesson in DDO. So the AMD-ATI merger, like I say, it doesn't bother me too much. You know, there's a potential. I believe there is an ATI chip in the 360. Do you know about that?
I don't know.
I'm positive there's an ATI chip in the GameCube.
Okay.
And there's probably going to be an ATI chip in the Wii.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that, you know, now that it's a double-edged sword, right? Because all of a sudden, if you put the CPU and the GPU on a single chip, everything is going to be a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
But if the only graphics that you can get with AMD is ATI, and the only graphics that you can get for Intel is NVIDIA, I think that you're going to have wildly conflicting markets.
Yes.
Because, you know, there was, when AMD first came out, there was a lot of problems with AMD to Intel compatibility. And they've kind of hammered most of that stuff out. I've never heard of an AMD Intel compatibility issue with software at this point. But as we've seen, video cards are kind of all over the place.
Yes.
So
case in point.
So it worries me a little bit, but we'll just have to see at this point how things pan out. I don't think there's going to be any immediate changes, but over the next 5 or 10 years. And what we might end up seeing is somebody like IBM or there's another third-party video card maker, and they may end up stepping up a little bit.
Coming to the forefront.
Coming into that role, you know. So we'll have to see.
You'll have to wait a little bit to new projects that are started under the joint venture.
Yeah,
anything in the pipeline right now is going to be status quo. But,
right. Yeah. But anything new, they'll think about
years down the road,
it.
It's really going to rear its head.
Yeah. So our next one is Jobs, fucking Steve Jobs. He's going to make me buy, he's going to use his fucking Hypnotoad powers to make me buy another goddamn iPod.
He's a thorn in your side, isn't he?
Oh, he's irritating me to no less. No less?
No end.
To no end, thank you. So I guess the WW something or fuck other is coming up. It's the Apple Developers Conference.
Yes.
And there's usually like always a big announcement at the Apple's Developers Conference. And they're thinking this is my prediction from all the shit that I've heard. Now, obviously, it's not really my prediction. It's other people's prediction filtered through me.
And this is your take. You're paraphrasing.
This is my paraphrasing. Oh, I've got a bone to pick. I have got a bone to pick. And I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway with the fucking Karate Cast podcast.
Uh-oh.
I've got a bone to pick.
Throw down.
If you listen to our episode 36, which was posted before one of his most recent podcasts, we're talking about the same fucking thing. It's the it's the ground fighting sucks. Oh yeah, I needed to talk about this, so we'll go back. The ground fighting sucks because if the guy's got a buddy, then you're gonna get your ass kicked when you take if you take the first guy to the ground, the number two guy will just kick you in the head from behind.
Okay.
And I swear, oh, I wanted to get the clips. Maybe I'll get the clips for next time. I wanted to clip in what I said and then clip in what he said back to back.
Uh-huh.
Because they're almost the same. It's got to be the same sentence.
Are you saying they listen to your podcast and plagiarize?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
It just shows you're ahead of the curve.
And a little comment and correction on the ground fighting thing, in that Matt Hughes or whoever it is would get his ass kicked with two guys because he would take one to the ground and get pounded in the head from the other guy. Something that someone else pointed out to me was, well, a 2-on-1, stand up or ground fighting, you are kind of screwed anyway.
Yeah.
So
unless it's a Hollywood movie where the second guy waits around until you're finished with the first one, and then he shows
up
to the fight.
So it's not really fair to say ground fighting is worse against two people than stand-up is, because you're kind of fucked regardless.
Right.
So what were we talking about? Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
And people that piss me off. That's what we were talking about. So I'm thinking my prediction for the iPod is either they're going to make it full screen and they're going to have it be a touch screen, right? So you can watch movies and shit. Like, if you take a video iPod and make the whole thing a screen, and then you have a touchpad on one section. Now, I don't know what it takes to make it a touch screen. I don't know if they've got to have
difficult. This would be a point where we'd benefit by having Sterling present, because that's what he designs for.
Well, I'm thinking, I guess the big question is what kind of hardware does it take? Because if it takes a car full of hardware to like support a touchscreen, can you fit the hardware of a touchscreen inside of an iPod?
Claim ignorance on this one.
Yeah, and maybe
no
it's just software. I don't know, but
and just ones and zeros.
It's all ball bearings anyway, right? So yeah, they're probably going to either do that. I've heard rumors of both a cell phone and a gaming machine, and I can't imagine they're going to do a gaming machine. It just that wouldn't
the PSP seems to be
dying
fizzling.
On the vine.
I don't know why they.
No, I think so too. The PS, well, although the DS is selling huge. I mean, like huge sales of the DS. But I think that to me, all these console wars and all this bullshit, it always goes back to the games. Is what games can you play on it? And I think my personal opinion is the reason that the PSP is dying is twofold. One is because a lot of the PSP games are ports.
And they take another game and they put it on the PSP.
They take another, yeah, and it's not a game that's designed for portability.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that's designed, because when I play my handheld games, it's for 15 minutes at a time. It's not these sit down for 2-hour sessions and get to the next save point, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's, you know.
Yeah, when you sit down to play Burnout, you sit down for an entire evening to crash and race.
Right,
and
right. I don't want to play it for 5 minutes. I mean, I guess you can do that, but then the load times kill you. And it's just like, you know, it's all of a sudden it's not much fun. So
they took a handheld game and tried to make it other things. You
have
to buy special movies to watch it on the PSP.
Right, right.
And I don't
think that really went anywhere
either.
No, the whole UMD thing. Like I've always said, if I could buy a DVD for $20 and for $5 extra I could get it with the UMD, I would spend the $5 extra. But if I'm spending 20 on the DVD and 20 on the UMD, fuck that. There's no way I'm going to do that. So I just think that Sony is trying to squeeze. They're just getting too greedy. They're just too greedy, those fuckers. And I'm not buying the, PSP 2, even if, I mean, I can't imagine them coming out with one, but I certainly fucking won't buy it. You know, there's just not enough good games.
I haven't gone out and gotten the 360 yet for the Xbox.
So. Ah, why? Are you waiting for PS3?
I am not waiting for PS3.
It's you just haven't been motivated enough?
A game playability. I actually haven't sat down to play my Xbox in quite some time. Recently had a mini Halo LAN party, which
was
a lot of fun. And that's probably the first time I've played in 5-6 months.
How old is your kid now?
My daughter is 2.5.
That's
another big reason. Having a 2.5-year-old daughter and living in a new house where you're constantly redoing things, it takes up a lot of your time. Damn it.
Stupid family.
No, Life and kids and house.
And I find that for myself, a lot of that stuff is settling down now. You know, Jen and I have got the house painted. This last weekend we painted all the shutters, things like that, and the activity, especially springtime. There's a lot of springtime activity, you know, and it's just started to settle down for us, so I've gotten in some Oblivion time.
Yeah.
The other huge key factor is getting a game that your wife likes to watch you play.
Oh, my wife loves to play Burnout.
Does she really?
She loves to crash, yeah.
Do you guys get into like the story-based game, like KOTOR or Knights of the Old Republic?
No, she is not a role play, or really the only thing she ever has played on the Xbox has been Dance Dance Revolution.
I want to get the game. Yeah. I don't have it, but I didn't realize they had it for Xbox.
Yes.
Do they really?
Yeah, they've had a couple sequels since then, too.
Yeah, I guess that's stupid. I mean, it's out for every fucking platform. Yeah. I'm shocked they haven't made one for the DS.
And she's not real big on racing games, either. It was the crash mode in Burnout
that got very specific
of that particular
I wonder if I can play Burnout 3 on my 360.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know if that's on the list or not, but I'll have to find out. Wow, dude, what the fuck were we talking about?
Steve Jobs making
me buy an iPod, that cocksucker. So, yeah, cell phone I'd definitely go for, because if I could get my – I carry my iPod everywhere with me, and if I could get my iPod and my cell phone merged into one unit – I said unit.
Merged.
That would be awesome, because those are two things that I carry on me all the time, and it's a pain in the ass to carry both of them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you seen the recent advertisements for a new Verizon phone called Chocolate?
You know,
it's basically spin. You know how you've got cell phones coming out that have MP3 capabilities.
Yeah.
This seems to be more an MP3 player with
cell phone
capabilities.
And see, that's how I use it. I am not the kind of person that is always on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I use my cell phone to call my wife when I'm coming home late from work.
Yep, same.
And really, that's it. I don't use it very often, and so I need something that's an MP3 player first and a cell phone second, and not the other way around.
Hey, new every two, baby. I got one coming up soon.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'll have to check out that Chocolate thing and see.
Could be something for you right up your
alley. Could be something for me. And science and tech stuff. Our last story for science and tech stuff. The Grand Canyon Skywalk. Now, I took a look at this.
Yeah.
That looks fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know if you get anyone out there that's afraid of heights.
Yeah. Now, does it go all the way across? Okay, so they're building a bridge. Are they building a bridge across the Grand Canyon?
It's more like a U. It's like a U-shaped habit trail coming right out of a cliff 4,000 feet in the air.
That's crazy, dude.
And it's basically a glass tunnel that you walk through.
Now, is the floor glass?
The floor is glass. So
I can't imagine getting anybody in there.
3/4 of a mile down below.
I don't know if I could do that,
yeah,
dude.
They got a graphic in there of, you know, different, you know, the world's tallest skyscraper sitting on the bottom of the canyon relative to where this thing is.
And it's like twice the size.
So almost 2.5 times higher than that.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. That would really fucking freak me out.
It would be. You know, I love roller coasters, but when I went to Las Vegas, I went to the Stratosphere.
Yeah.
Just the added...
What's the Stratosphere?
The Stratosphere is the...
Is that drop the, thing that's
the big,
on top
the,
of
the big tower? They have rides up there, and they just have a real piddly little roller coaster that goes around the perimeter of the tower up there.
Yeah.
And in and of itself, the roller coaster is nothing. It's the fact that you are so damn high up in the air that makes you go bejesus on you. It's like, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, stepping yeah. into the car to get into this thing, it's like, oh my goodness. And they have other rides up there too. And the whole novelty of it is the fact that you are so high up.
Right, right. Yeah, that... And it's funny because if they made this thing with just glass walls and a solid floor, I wouldn't have a problem at all. It wouldn't be a big deal. I'd be like, oh, this thing is kind of cool. With a glass floor, it's just like, man, what if I fucking jump too hard? And I know that it's obviously going to be like, you know, 4 foot thick plexiglass or something
it's
crazy.
It's like 4 inches, but
so there's 4 inches between me and a fall to my death. I don't think so.
Hey, it's not the fall that kills you. It's the sudden stop at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So did you have some figures here?
I did. They basically say that it's can withstand 71 million pounds.
So it will be suspended 4,000 feet above the Colorado River.
Correct.
Now, to give people a little bit of perspective, the Empire State Building or the Chicago Sears Tower, right? So 4,000 feet for this thing, the Sears Tower, 1,450 feet. So this is almost going to be, what, two-thirds higher. Is that right?
Other way. Almost.
It's going to be a fuck of a lot higher than
2.5 plus times taller
than the Sears.
Stack 2.5 Sears towers up and you'll
and
get
I've
to the bottom
of the top of
floor.
The Sears tower, and I've put my forehead against the glass. And it'll make you throw up.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Entrapment?
No.
You have not.
I did.
Connery, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yummy.
Yeah, that's right. She's got fucking tight bodysuit. She's moving in all kinds of positions and shit.
Not trying to wiggle bells.
No, that's right.
Anyways.
She wiggled my bell.
If you've seen that movie, the building in there is in Malaysia. It's the two towers with the bridge going across. That particular building is just a few feet taller than the Sears Tower.
Yeah,
that's 1,483 feet.
Yeah.
So you still got to add about 2.5 of those.
Yeah. I couldn't walk across this thing. There's no fucking way. No way you'd get me stepping out that first step.
Yeah. Being an engineer and knowing what it takes to build these things, I know it would be totally safe, but the psychological portion of it probably wouldn't let me walk out there either.
Yeah. So, but the pictures are cool and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of interesting.
There was a couple conflicting things on the websites that I saw about when it was opening, but I think it's going to be open later this year.
Wow. I don't know. I might go just because I'm curious.
Yeah.
Run across it. Booking. So anyway, I say we're done with science and tech stuff, and let's move on to movie stuff. A buddy of mine sent me a really cool site, and I wish I could remember some of them. Well, maybe I can remember some of these. There's a website called Not Starring, and on that website, they list a bunch of movies and a bunch of movie stars who have not gotten or declined particular roles.
Right. So imagine your favorite movie starring someone other than who you've grown to love in that role.
Yes. And for example, I specifically remember this one. Sean Connery turned down the role of Morpheus in The Matrix.
How different would that be?
Maybe as the architect, but it would be really strange to see him as Morpheus. And he said, they had a little blurb in there that said he actually took the role in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen
in place of
because he felt that he had made a mistake in not taking the Matrix role. You know, it's funny because I don't really think about it much, but I would imagine as any kind of movie star, you have to be really, really careful about which roles you choose and which roles you don't choose, because they can kind of – a lot of these movie stars have momentum. And, You know, like with Sean Connery, for instance, you do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, people are just, they're not as enthusiastic about going to see your next movie because they're a little bit worried about the last one.
See, but the funny thing is most, as long as the development times are in Hollywood, he's probably already got the next one in the can, even before League of the Extraordinary Gentlemen comes out into theaters.
But
so,
but it has a cumulative effect.
It does.
You know?
Yeah, they have to make wise choices.
You have too many of those.
I did go
trouble.
Out and check out a few of the ones that I had heard rumors of, and this just confirmed them. Did you know who they originally wanted to play the Terminator instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, no. Well, I had heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to play the human that saves the girl.
Well, who did they want as the original Terminator?
Sylvester Stallone.
Nope.
I don't know.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
And they turned him down because they thought he was too nice of a guy.
See?
Oh, so things do
that's
come
right.
back.
They said, you know what? You can't play the role because the gloves don't fit.
That's right. Yeah. You must have quit.
Oh, shit. My laughing. I don't know. I think we got the mic a little too hot. Sorry
you
about that, everybody.
It. If we bust your eardrums, we're sorry.
One other that I thought was interesting was they asked Tom Cruise to play Neo.
Yes.
So I just thought that was...
Of course, I had to go look at my all-time favorite movie.
Yes.
Which is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yes.
And this is one that I had heard before. And the original role, they had wanted Tom Selleck. But he was too busy with the Magnum P.I. series at the time, and he had other commitments, so he couldn't do Indiana Jones. But I could kind of see him in that role.
I'm surprised that Harrison Ford wasn't their first choice.
Well,
because that was after Star Wars, wasn't it? Yeah, Star Wars was his first role.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 81. Star Wars was 77.
Okay.
So they basically...
Damn, you know that?
Well, come on. My favorite movie... I own a copy of the script. And interestingly enough, the beginning of the Temple of Doom, where he's in the restaurant...
The round eye with round eye, and they got the rolling...
They got the big rolling drum, or the steel gong thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was actually written into the script for Raiders, and they didn't have the budget or the special effects or the wherewithal to pull that off in the first movie. So they didn't include that, and it showed up in the second one.
Interesting. Very interesting. So anyway, go check it out. I really enjoyed kind of perusing through there some of my favorite movies.
Yeah, and you can pull up an actor and find out what roles he's turned down, or you could do it the other way, go to a movie and find out, you know, the different characters of that movie, who else was slated.
And I think that they wanted they asked, gosh damn it, I can't think now. I think they wanted Brad Pitt to play Spider-Man.
I've heard that rumor.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Or I'm full of shit. One of the two. I could be
full
of shit.
Or it could be both, Dan.
Or it could be... see, now you're just getting tricky. So, young kids versus classic, quote-unquote, classic movies.
How old are you, Dan?
I am 35.
You are 35. I am 36. There is a certain set of movies out there that we grew up on.
Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders, you know. A lot of what we would consider to be
classic
movies.
Right.
Well, in the office this summer, we've
Terminator.
We've got several interns that are 19, 20.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you have movie conversations with them, and you're talking about, have you seen
Raiders of the Lost Ark?
One of them hadn't even seen that movie.
Really?
I about dropped my jaw. It's like, you haven't seen that?
Yeah. Actually, I used to have a coworker, and I think that she's just not a big movie fan, but it's like she hadn't seen Raiders, hadn't seen a bunch of other movies that were just like, how can you not have seen that movie?
I had one of them confess to me that he's a junior now. His freshman year was the first time that he actually saw the Star Wars trilogy, the original Star Wars
trilogy. Really?
So like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Was, you know, when all of the, you know, the Revenge of the Sith is coming out, and he revisited the first trilogy for the first time.
So that means in another 20 years, when there's not another Star Wars movie, no one will bother to see those movies anymore.
They're going to fall along the wayside.
Well, I do think it'll be interesting to see what you know, what our parents' generation sees mm-hmm. as classics, which would be like Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. I remember every year, this was back when there were only three channels on TV,
uh-huh.
every year they would play The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz. I remember every right. year we'd watch that as a family.
Right. And I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, I would not be surprised to meet someone our age that had never seen Gone with the Wind or yeah. Wizard of Oz. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting to find what like the quote unquote classics of the 70s and 80s
right.
truly are, because in 5 or 10 years, the ones that aren't the true classics simply will fade into obscurity. Whoa. Nice.
Well, you think about it, anyone that's, you know, 20 in college right now, they were born in 86.
Yeah.
You and I were teenagers at that point,
yeah.
and we were going yeah. to movies on our own.
Right.
And, you know, I remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark probably half a dozen times in the theater when yeah. that came out.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kids weren't even born.
God damn. Makes me
I
old.
I feel old.
I feel ancient. Show. Next on the Old Cooch Podcast. Some movie making news and one tip or trick. And I think, well, anyway, the 48-hour film festival is now in Portland, and I think it's happening this weekend.
August 11th, I do believe. So,
August 11th. So anybody out in Portland, now's your chance to make a movie in 48 hours.
And you guys were going to do that over in Detroit, but that got canceled.
Yep. So I do think one of the things I think that's interesting that even about the 48-hour film festival is that what you end up getting is you really end up getting these sort of studios that do these super high-end productions in 48 hours. And I think it's gotten so popular, they're really pushing out the guy with a handheld camcorder, yeah. you know?
See how well they work under pressure and what they can do in a yeah. short amount of time?
I think that what they should do is they should have one of these festivals where it's 48 hours with $10 and nothing more than a single DV cam, right. you know? That yeah. would be more interesting
go to
me.
Best Buy, pick up a handheld Sony, and right. grab a few blank tapes and be on your way.
That's right. That would be interesting to me. But I do think it's interesting to sort of see what people can do in 48 hours when mm-hmm. they've got nothing but their wits about them. So, it is one of those things where even if you're a student or if you're just getting into it or something like that, it does give you a chance for your stuff to be seen.
Yeah. You get to hone your skills.
Yep. Because most times, even with a short, you know, I've been to enough festivals to know that even a short is going to cost somebody, you know, $20,000-$30,000 on the low end, which to me is fucking nuts.
And how much do you spend putting together your two guys' videos?
$20-$30.
A magnitude different here.
and not even that, really. I mean, it's the cost of a half an hour a tape.
Yeah, it's
know?
Your time at that point.
But I
Which
think,
is,
too, that...
worthless or priceless? Is there a difference?
I don't think there's a difference. And the other thing I have is I found a really cool... sort of special effect mod. Yes. Did you see the video
I
on
did.
This?
I did. I went and watched that. That's pretty ingenious.
It's pretty ingenious. It's to simulate bullets hitting against a wall.
Yes.
And what they've done, I don't know exactly how they did the front end of it, but...
I read through all the descriptors.
They pre-drill a hole in a wall.
You drill a hole and you basically carve out a little pocket
yeah.
in the drywall.
And then you fill that pocket with debris.
Yep. And then you put a piece of wax paper over it.
Oh, is it wax paper?
Over it. Yeah, they say if you plaster over it, the plaster is just going to, you know, congeal all the little pieces that you have in there. So you put a little piece of wax paper in there.
Interesting.
You plaster over it, and then you kind of cut the wax paper. You X it out so that it's going to break and give.
Okay.
And then you paint the wall, do whatever it is you do, and then you attach...
Well, and the other important thing is that you have to put like a nail through the wall or yes. something that's going to end up being sort of the plunger.
Yes, it's something that gets pushed out through that yes. opening and yep. makes the debris go flying.
Yeah, so...
But the activator on the backside yeah. of the wall is...
A mouse trap.
Yes.
So what you can do is you can hook up the little mouse trap. Mm-hmm. You can then yank some fucking cord or something like that to make the mouse trap go.
And the mouse
it snaps.
Trap spring snaps, hits the
hits
nail.
Hits the nail or whatever the plunger
forces
is.
Forces it... Forces the debris and the... nail through the
other
you know,
side.
Little wax paper covering
right.
and throws things out into the room
yeah.
and you got a nice little bullet-sized mark
yeah,
in your
and,
wall.
And you'd probably have to tweak it a little bit to mm-hmm. get it just right, but from the video I saw,
yeah,
it was pretty impressive. Yeah. I was like, damn, that's kind of cool. And I would imagine that, you know, this would, well, I don't know. I would imagine it would be pretty cheap.
Yeah,
you know, it's fucking mousetraps and shit.
It seems like a lot of time in order to go through and you know plaster up the wall and do all that. But
right.
if you want the special effect,
and obviously you have to have a wall that you're willing to destroy.
Correct. Yeah,
you know, so it's got to be a false.
Well,
you
got to get to the backside of it in order to get the mousetraps on there. And
this is one of those things that like Sterling and I probably wouldn't bother to do because
too much
it's
work.
Too much of a pain in the ass. We hate work in all its forms.
So you'd just have someone run in front of a dry wall and, you know, firing, you know, tons and tons of bullets and
yeah.
nothing ever happens.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're just yeah. assuming they all hit the person running in front of the
That's
wall.
That's right. That's right.
You're such a good shot.
I don't know. And that's the other part of that thing is that the timing.
Yeah.
is a big deal because the other problem is you wouldn't want to fuck it up.
Right. That's a lot of setup
that's
for something that you could screw up really
yes.
easy.
Yes, indeed.
And setting those traps if it were to accidentally
Especially
go
if you're
off.
Painting over it.
Yeah.
Ooh, not good. So anyway, that's the movie making stuff. We'll move on because we're running out of time here. So
RPG stuff, couple items. When What's... good dice go bad,
oh, this
another
is
suggestion.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Blue Screen might send in, I think it's a link to a video or
yeah.
a list of stuff where these guys have buried in their backyard and essentially if your dice are rolling bad.
Yes.
You know, consistent bad rolls. Now see, for me, I've always felt that when dice start to consistently roll bad,
there's a flip side to it, and they're going to start to
roll
good.
They're going to start
yeah.
to roll good. So it's a matter of waiting out the bad time before they start rolling good.
I have a couple set, and I go back and forth depending.
Yeah, yeah. And there are stories of guys microwaving their dice.
Melting
and,
them.
Yeah, well, and they put, the one guy said, either he knew a friend or he was the guy or something like that, who lined up all of his dice in front of the microwave so that they could watch
yeah.
the bad dice getting cooked, you know, just to sort of teach them the lesson.
That's right.
But one of the things that I did think was just brilliant in this is that one guy said if you take a glass of water and you drop your die into a glass of water, then it will generally settle.
It's more buoyant.
Like if it's weighted mm-hmm. on one end, it'll generally, and I think most of them are heavier than water, so they'll fall to the bottom. But they'll fall to the bottom on a particular number,
mm-hmm.
and like I say, they'll generally settle to their heaviest side. So you can kind of check your dice that
yeah.
way.
Well, if you think about it, think about a standard six-sided
yeah.
dice. You're going to roll sixes more often than not because most of them drill holes in them.
That's right.
You drill out
That's
one
right.
hole on the one side,
yep.
and you drill out six on the other, so the one is a little bit heavier
That's
than
right.
the side with the six. So
just
infinitesimally small, you might not notice
But if you roll
it
a million times.
You might notice a difference.
Yeah, you might notice a difference. So I think the glass of water trick I thought was just like,
yeah, I'll have to
like
try
really kind of cool. And I haven't tried it yet, but I'm lazy. I'm a lazy
I'm
going to
run home and do that right now.
Well, and they're all injection molded.
Yeah.
So
there's going to be a variation.
There's going to be a variation in
yeah.
there.
Pack density.
The air bubble,
that, yeah.
something like that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if air bubbles, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, they pretty much can get those out, but, you know, you could put more plastic in there. It might be biased to one side.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. And especially I've noticed that on, like, the 10-sideds, because the sides are so smooth between
mm-hmm.
the numbers, I would imagine that you could get it to roll to, I don't know.
Anyway,
there's enough of our die analysis, but yeah. Well, now, do you personally have like, do you have a set of lucky dice or dice that you like to use more than others?
Like I said, I have two sets. I've got a red set and a blue set, and I always like to start out with a red set.
And if it's not rolling well, you switch to the blue set?
I'm a hacker slasher, red, blood, you know.
Okay.
If I'm not hacking and slashing with those, I switch over to blue.
See, and I'm generally the kind of guy that I just grab whatever's in front of me, and I simply don't care. And in fact, for some reason, and this will probably not be shocking to too many people, I have a really tough time with a matched set.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like having a matched set.
Why
in front
is
of me.
That?
I don't know. There's too much order and organization to it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm a chaotic person, what can I say?
You're strange. You're a strange little man.
I'm a strange little man. So now you've got something.
I have something up here. Last time in episode 37,
yeah,
Mr. Sterling mentioned Warhammer role-playing.
Yes. Warhammer.
Not the 40K, which is the massive armies, battlefield-type stuff, but actually the role-playing. And he had mentioned that he hadn't played it, but he thought it was interesting.
Yeah, he wanted to play it at the next role play.
Yes, I have played that in college. I was actually in several different campaigns, actually two D&D and one Warhammer. It's amazing I got any work done because I had three role-playing.
Two D&D and a Warhammer campaign.
Yes,
holy
and,
shit,
and all the dynamics were very different. Good DMs for story and background and character development in one. The other one was really good at handling combat, so those went slick. Yeah. So if you combined all the DMs that I've had into one, it would be one hell of a great experience.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back to the Warhammer. A friend of mine was really big into the Vampire Ravenloft D&D.
Okay.
And the Warhammer world is set up more in a chaotic, very, you know, evil taking over the land. It's very dark world.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a map of the Warhammer world, it's very reminiscent of Europe.
Interesting.
And, you know, the different countries, you know, you can
make
out
seen the map.
France and Spain and England. It's very reminiscent of that.
It's like one of the ancient maps before they had satellites and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what it would look like if, you know, you just took a boat and went around the coastline and tried to figure out what the world looked like.
Right.
Anyways, I agree with Sterling that it is very much a character-driven role-playing experience. There are definite career paths that you can go on. That's what I really liked. Is you have you start out random, or I guess if you're they call them game masters in Warhammer, not dungeon masters.
Okay.
You could.
I always, you know what? I've just made a decision in my life that I'm going to call them refs because
that's what they are.
I believe that Traveler calls them referees, and so I was just like, you know what? That's a good enough
someone to watch over and
term.
Yeah,
but I'm just gonna call them refs from now on.
Okay, so the referees in Warhammer. Yeah. So you have career paths, and each career has a career exit. So you have a natural progression.
Okay.
And
now is it a rules light or a rules heavy kind of game?
It's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
You know, obviously, trying to play D&D for the first time, you'd think it's pretty overwhelming.
But compare it to 3.5, for example. D&D 3.5.
I would say it's comparable, if not a little bit lighter.
Okay.
I've got a copy of the character sheet, and they have typical stats, you know, how in D&D you've got strength, con, wisdom, intelligence.
Yeah.
They've got a generic character set, and you've got a pretty generic you've got a weapon skill, which is your hand-to-hand combat rating, and they separate that from a ballistic skill, which is a ranged weapon attack.
Yeah.
You've got a strength. You've got a toughness. A toughness is similar to an armor class. That's how much damage you can take before you start getting wounds. Wounds is like hit points in D&D. They have different, agility, kind of like a dexterity. You know, they have intelligence, willpower.
But they don't have for example, you've got your weapon skill, but they don't break it down into bladed weapons versus non-bladed weapons versus, you know what I mean?
It's been 14 years since I've played, and I don't know if they changed the new rules, but I don't know.
I have a tendency to lean towards rules light play. I also have a tendency to lean towards deferring to the referee,
mm-hmm.
and sort of say, you know what, I would rather, especially when like when we're role playing and there's eight of us, I would much rather just defer to Sterling
and say,
than look
decide.
It up somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, even if I think he's wrong, it's just like, I don't want to spend the time.
Well, you know,
to look
there's
it up.
Certain individuals in our group that wouldn't let that fly.
Right. I mean, it depends. If it has to do with your death, it's one thing.
Right.
But if it's just, I want to sneak up on this guy and he's not letting me because of some particular rule that he thinks is there.
So be it.
So be it. Yeah. It's like, fuck it. Okay.
Yeah. Let's not waste 5 minutes while someone gets out a handbook to,
right,
to, look,
to look up the
stupid
sneak
rule
rules
up
or
and
whatever.
Read a bunch of jargon and say, well, technically it could apply here,
right.
but I'm not going to let you do it because of.
Are there girls in there? I'm getting drunk.
Cheetos. Where's the Mountain Dew?
Another
interesting point in Warhammer is that it is. I would tend to think of it more real life, where there are a lot more critical hits, where you're not this super uber character with all sorts of hit points.
What's the mortality rate? Pretty high?
It is pretty high.
Really?
Because you can actually crit fairly easily and, you know, take someone out.
Yeah.
For instance, there was a game that we were playing, and I was the big fighter dude, and there was a magic user that was not cooperating with the rest of the group,
uh-huh.
and all I wanted to do was to punch him, to knock him out, to, you know, basically make him unconscious so we could carry him off and be about our way.
You killed him.
I accidentally critted.
Oh.
Massive crit. I almost killed them. I almost basically crushed their skull just trying to knock them out
right.
to carry them away. And so they wouldn't let me do that anymore. And if we tried to incapacitate someone, they wouldn't let me do it. Because I was a dwarf. I was a dwarf assassin.
All right. Well, you're nice and small.
I had 4 attacks per round. I had the uber toughness, lots of wounds. So I could take a whole boatload of damage before anything took, you know, any effect on me.
Yeah.
And it wreaked havoc with the game master. He always had to provide any kind of enemies we were up against. He needed to have, you know, a super leader with a bunch of minions.
Yeah,
and
the problem
I would
is,
have to pair up with the leader because
it's,
you know,
very difficult, I would imagine, when you've got sort of strong and weak characters combined mm-hmm. into one group, when the group is so out of balance. I know that Sterling had a tough time with part of our campaign, because every time we have new people come into the group, or every time a character dies and you start another character, I think it's average level of the party minus one.
Right.
So
you've got this little this little weakling.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And
can I join your group?
Right, and if you get the wrong matchup, you know, they're going to get creamed.
It throws the dynamic off.
It does. It really does. So I know that he's had some problems with my magic user in the campaign, because my magic user, I just sort of push him into combat. And I don't really care.
Yeah, you like to go right up to the front line.
I go right up to the front line.
You're this little 80-pound weakling.
Well, my original concept was for the character was a magic user that always wanted to be a fighter. And that didn't really work out because, you know, I put him in armor and I'm just like, well, you know what? That doesn't fucking work out.
No.
So I made him sort of a fearless magic user.
Yeah, you tend to play him well.
Yeah, but it's also trouble for Sterling
mm-hmm.
because if a fighter's in front of me and gets taken out, or there's a random chance that I get hit instead of the fighter in front of me, what would take 10, 15 strikes to kill the fighter would possibly take one.
Yeah, fell you in
me.
One or two, and boom, you're down.
Yeah, and I'm done. So, anyway,
I
say we wrap it up.
All right,
I say we
wrap
it up because it's 12:15, and I got to smoke on out of here.
All right, sounds good.
Speaking of smoking, My wife and I are attempting to quit smoking.
Are you? Congratulations. Yep. I hope you succeed.
We're on the patch thing, so I don't have one with me right now, but all those motherfuckers itch so bad. Like the first hour that you put them on, I want to rip my skin off.
They itch so bad. Has it been working for you?
Yes and no. Let's see. last Thursday, no smoking. Friday, no smoking. Saturday, we sort of broke down and had 4 or 5 each Saturday night. Quit smoking again on Sunday, so didn't have any on Sunday. And
don't quit quitting.
And I haven't had one today, so.
Hey, no one likes a quitter, though, Dan.
That's right, you know. See, it's these kids these days. They don't have the commitment to stick with something once they choose.
Now, you think you're
going
to have trouble if you go out to the bar and there's all sorts of smoke?
That's
going to
be really tough. That's going to be tough. So we're hoping.
That's a big boon against
people trying
to quit.
We're not doing that. You know, we're not.
You're never going to the bar again?
Well, for right now, we're intentionally avoiding going to the bar. We're not really drinking at home. So we're avoiding all that shit in the hopes that
you can
tough it out.
Further distance yourself before give yourself
last
temptation.
We quit for about 9 months once before and ended up starting again. So we'll see. Hey, any day that I don't is a good day.
You'll save yourself some money, too.
Yeah. Now if I could only quit the heroin.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the big one. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Joining me.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
You stepping in for Sterling when Sterling's
in your backyard.
Not here. But that's it. So I am Dan, and I'm just an awesome dude.
I concur. I am Mike, a.k.a. Number 3. Happy to be here.
Well, we'll meet you on the boards, I guess. Eh?
Talk to you later.
See you, bitches.
Bye-bye.
Number 2 time. Now is the time to evacuate. I'm not rude. It was food. I gotta take a poo, dude. And it will make me feel great. This morning began last night, I had a blast, but when I got to the can, things moved a little fast. I got the slides, I took a Swiss Miss Piss, cause I drank St. Ides and Canadian Mist. Making Nestle Nectar, it's like a can of stewed tomatoes, causing my rectum smell a lot like rutabagas. It's showtime, it's ew time. It's making soupy stew time. Why did I have to eat all those eggs? It's too quick. When I'm sick, I'm making renal music onto the back of my legs. When I'm at work and it's time to leave the stage, don't think I'm a jerk when I steal your sports page. I'm trucking Huxtables and racing the brown bunnies, running the yucky bulls as I sit and read the funnies. I'm at the gopher fights, that's right, I'm pumping teddies. The big one right there, I think I will name Eddie. It's showtime, it's due time. It's making number 2 time. Now is the time to evacuate. I'm not rude, it was food. I gotta take a poo, dude. And it will make me feel.